We're turning to Psalm 119, and the 119th Psalm has a lot to say about the Word of God. Sometimes it's described as the Lord's precepts, or His testimonies, or His statutes, and there are various ways in which the Bible is described here: His commandments, His judgments, His Word. And we see here in Psalm 119, there are a number of things that we're taught that we ought to do with God's Word. We ought to love it. Verse 97, O how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day, and we'll be speaking about that in a moment or two. We are to keep God's Word. Verse 101, I've refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy Word. There are all sorts of things that we're taught in the Bible that we are to do. It says in verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We are guided by the Word of God. We are led by the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that we are to hide God's word in our hearts. Verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. This book will keep me from sin. Sin will keep me from this book. Now we're talking about Bible study, about properly reading and studying the Bible. And I hope to say a lot more about that in the weeks to come in the will of the Lord. One thing I want to mention this morning that's of great value to us in our Bible reading, and that is that we should not only read the Bible, but that we should read it diligently. That is, we should not just read the Bible, we should study the Bible. Really study it. Last time we took as a kind of a springboard text, Acts chapter 17 verse 11, where it refers to the men of Berea. It tells us about the Bereans, that they were more noble than the people in Thessalonica, for this reason, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They didn't just read the scriptures, they searched the scriptures, as the Lord Jesus taught us we are to do there in John's Gospel chapter 5. Now that word searched is an interesting word that's used in Acts 17, because it could be translated examining closely the scriptures. That's the idea behind it. It's a very, very strong word. It literally signifies to search after by looking through, to investigate, to examine, to inquire into, or to scrutinize, or even to sift. These are all very interesting words which suggest to us that our study of the Bible should be very intense, that it should be close. And it must be and should be minute study. Now sometimes we need help when we study the Bible. And I am certainly not against helps, particularly when it comes to things like Hebrew and Greek lexicons, when it comes to concordances that also have links to the Hebrew and Greek words. There are several really good concordances that you can use. I would certainly encourage you to get a concordance and to look up, when you're studying words, every place where that word is mentioned in the Bible, because that will give you a great understanding of the usage of that word when you see how it's employed throughout the scriptures. They used to say when I was in school there were three really good concordances. There was Strong's concordance for the strong. There was Young's concordance for the young, and Cruden's concordance for the crude. But I don't know if there's any truth in that or not, but they're all good. They're all very good. My favourite is Young's Analytical Concordance, because, and that's a great big book, but it has links to the usage not only of each word, but it tells you what the word is in the Greek, and it tells you what the word is in the Hebrew. And if you've studied a bit of Hebrew and a bit of Greek, as I have, that helps even more. But you don't have to have a working knowledge of either of those languages to be able to get benefit from a concordance like that. It's good to study the Bible closely. And I'm afraid that in the day in which we live, there are two types of people. There are those who read the Bible very superficially, and there are those who don't read the Bible at all. And neither one is good. I'd rather have one as the other. I'd rather that people would read it as not read it. But if you're going to read it, you should not read it superficially. That is to skim over the Bible. You know, I'm afraid, just thinking of it, Psalm 119, just cast your eyes over the page to Psalm 117. Believe it or not, Psalm 117 is a favorite psalm of many Christians. And you know why? Because it has two verses in it. That's why they like it. Because they can read this and then say, Lord, I read my chapter for today. Wait a minute. Is Psalm 117 a good chapter to read? Of course it is. Of course it is. And it's good to meditate upon it. In fact, if you were to take those two verses and just think about them and mull them over and think about them some more and think about them some more, that would be of great benefit. But don't just read very quickly those two verses and then go to sleep and say, I've read the Bible today. Oh, well, you have, but you've read the Bible very superficially. We need to study God's Word. Now, there are books that I would say to you are worthy of careless skimming. They're not worth the paper that they're written on. But that's not true of the Bible. This is God's own holy, perfect Word. We have here an infinite and an inexhaustible storehouse of truth. And that is why when you come to the Bible, you can read a portion, think about it, meditate upon it, get benefit from it, and then maybe at a later date or even just tomorrow, come back to the same portion and read it again with freshness and get a whole lot more out of it than you got today. That's the way the Bible is. The Bible opens to reading. But the more closely you study the book, I believe the more blessing you will receive. That shouldn't be any surprise to us as Christians. The more you read what God says, the better it will be for you. So we should study it diligently. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now I'll confess something to you. I am just like you. You may say, no, surely not. I am just like you. And that is, I have the same temptations to deal with that you have. And the same tiredness and sleepiness comes upon me that comes upon you. And there's times when I sit down with my Bible and I'm beginning to read it, and I just feel those heavy eyelids. They just get heavier and heavier, and then they just want to shut all together. Now, it's a good thing if you're going to read your Bible to be under a decent light. Don't read your Bible where it's kind of half dark. You know, it's sort of that soft light where it makes you feel like going to sleep. That's not a good thing. If you're going to read your Bible, I wouldn't advise you to be lying prone in your bed with your Bible above you like this, because very soon it's going to drop onto your head and you're going to be asleep. And when you're reading your Bible, don't choose the most comfortable chair in the house to do so. I have a really nice chair at home that my mother-in-law, my dear late mother-in-law, bought for me as a present once. I love that chair. It has a lifetime guarantee. It's a recliner and it's my chair, okay? So if you ever come to my house, I'm sitting in that chair unless I grant you a dispensation that you can sit in it like my son-in-law gets to do. Anyway, it's a great chair, but it's not a great chair to read the Bible in. You know why? It's way too comfortable. And you can lie all the way back in that thing. It swivels. It rocks. It's a beautiful chair. But it's not a good chair to read the Bible in because it's too comfortable. Now, don't get something that'll break your back either, but find a happy medium and read your Bible and read it with attention and read it with a notebook or a piece of paper. And there's something in the Bible that suggests something to you, write that down. And there's all sorts of things that you can do by way of Bible study that will help you not to lose attention. And I think that that's where a lot of people miss the blessing of God in their study of the Bible. Yes, they're actually looking at the Bible with their physical eyes, and they have their spectacles on or their contacts or whatever they need, or their magnifying glass. But their minds are away off someplace else. They're thinking about something else, or they're thinking about 10 other something else's. And that's not good. When we study the Bible, we have to make a conscious effort to shut out everything else and to ask the Lord to help us to get benefit from our reading and study of His Word. Get into good habits as a Christian. You know, people might say, well, you're only reading your Bible out of habit or out of rote. Yes, you can do that, but you know, there are good habits. There are good habits that we can get into. There are bad habits that we can get into. And as children, we're taught, that's a bad habit, you're not to do that. And I'm not going to get into all the bad habits I had when I was a little boy, but some of them I had to get knocked out of me. There are bad habits that we can get into even as Christians, even in our Bible reading. But let's get into good habits. Think about what the Bible says about the prophet Jeremiah. I'd like you to turn to this portion in Jeremiah chapter 15. We're talking about Bible study. We're talking about Bible reading, and that which will be beneficial to our hearts and souls as Christians. Now here's what the man of God said about the Lord's word. Jeremiah 15 verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Isn't that interesting? How do you eat God's words? Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, you know, to look at me, I enjoy my food. I love food. I try not to eat as much of it as I used to. I've lost some weight in recent years, and that's a good thing. But I still love my food. I love the smell of food. And when it's a particular favorite meal of mine that's cooking, I really like it. And I look forward to eating it. I enjoy eating. It's a great blessing. You know, it is a blessing to be able to smell things. It's a great blessing to be able to taste things. These are blessings that the Lord has given to us where our physical food is concerned. But when Job talked about esteeming the words of God's mouth more than his necessary food, he was really talking about looking forward to reading and meditating on God's word the same way that he would enjoy a good meal. And that really rebukes us, because a lot of times I think that is not the case with the Lord's people. But Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. He fed his soul upon God's word. And he says this, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. He got great benefit from reading and studying the word of God. How do we read God's word? Do we do it with thought? Are we thoughtful in our reading of the Bible? Are we giving our whole attention to the Bible as we read it? We ought to. We ought to do that. If you're in the habit of reading consecutively through the Bible, that's a good thing. There are different ways to study the Bible, and we'll get into that as time goes on. But I think it's a sad thing if in your Christian life you've been converted for a number of years and there are portions of the Bible that you have not yet read. You should be able to say, I have read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You say, well, how could I do that? It's very simple. You start at Genesis and you finish at Revelation. I have a Bible reading plan. Now, it can be, to some people, bondage to have a Bible reading plan, because they feel really under pressure to get those chapters in on that particular day. And if they haven't read them and it's already close to midnight and, you know, they have these four chapters to read, it can be a bondage to them. It shouldn't be. But the reason I bring this up is that particular Bible reading plan, which was drawn up by Robert Murray McShane, enables you in a full year, 365 days, or 366 if it's a leap year, to read the Bible through once in its entirety, the New Testament twice in its entirety, and the Book of Psalms twice. Think of that. The whole Bible once, but the New Testament twice, and the Book of Psalms twice. And that's just by reading 4 chapters per day. Can you imagine? 4 chapters per day, and that's how much you read. So it's not that difficult. So set yourself that, if you're in the habit, which I'm not particularly, but if you're in the habit of setting New Year's resolutions, and I know most of them are broken on January 2nd or 1st, but here's a good resolution to make. With the Lord's help, Lord, help me to read your word through this incoming year. And I would challenge you to do that if you have never done it. And I guarantee you, there's going to be portions that you think, oh, I wish I didn't have to read this, because there's all these funny names and so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so. But you know what? Every word of it is God's word. Every word of it. So it's beneficial to your soul. How could it benefit me to read about Hananiah and Zedekiah and all these people? It will benefit your soul because it is God's word. When my wife and I were going out together, and sometimes it was a long distance relationship, and that's not the easiest kind of relationship to have, for obvious reasons. You don't ever get to see them, especially in the days before internet. And no, it wasn't before telephones, but anyway, I used to look forward to her letters, and I was pretty good at writing letters myself. And guess what? When I got one of her letters, I didn't just read it once. I read it once, and then I read it again, and then I read it again, and then I read it again, because I was afraid I might have missed something the first few times. Why? Because it was precious to me. Because of the person that was sending it to me, I loved. And she was going to be my wife, and I wanted to read what she had to say to me, because it was just to me. And that's the way it is with God's word. A preacher said one time, the Bible is God's love letter to his people. And so I'm not going to say, well, now, Lord, there's parts of your love letter I don't want to read. I'm not interested in that. No, no, we have to say, Lord, everything that you've put in your word is there for a reason. Every single word. And doesn't the Bible say that? Every word of God is pure. Every word. Every single word. So let us give great thought and concentrated attention to our reading of the Bible. We can certainly study our Bibles in different ways. For example, if you take a book of Scripture, you might want to look at that book as an overview. You might want to take an overview of the book and get the general content of it. So you take a bird's eye view. You know what a bird's eye view is? It's when you step back and you look at it from a distance. But then you come up closer and you study it more closely. That's how you can study the Word of God. And you can get into verse by verse and word by word of the books of the Bible. And that's not just something for young people who are in Bible institutes or theological colleges. We can all be students of the Word of God. Think of Paul's message to Timothy. And yes, it was an older preacher writing to a young preacher. And you can look at it in that context. You can say, well, he would say that to a minister, wouldn't he? Well, yes, he would. But I believe that this is a word for all Christians. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the 15th verse. Study. When I was in college, there were some kids that didn't really know what that word meant. At least I think they didn't know what it meant, because they never did it. Study. In school, there used to be a thing, in this country at least, called study hall. Right? And a lot of kids that were in study hall didn't study. I think that's right. Study is what the word suggests. Study. It's not looking around and daydreaming. It's studying. Study to show thyself approved unto men. No, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. It is hard work. Study is work. It's work. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's referring to the minister taking the portions of the scripture that belong to the various needs in the congregation. There are some who are believers of a long time. They have particular needs. They're at a certain level of maturity. There are other believers who are more immature and newer in the faith. They also need their portion of meat. The children need their portion of meat. When our girls got big enough to where they wanted what we were eating at the table, and that happens, you know what we did? We used a meat grinder, and my wife used to puree carrots and meat and things like that, and potatoes. And so the girls were eating the same thing that we were eating, but in a more palatable form. It was soft, and they could not choke on it, because if you give them big lumps of meat like we were eating, it would not have been good. And I think it's that way where preachers are concerned. And this is where you need a lot of wisdom. People might say, well, there's some of the things a pastor preaches that go right over my head. Well, maybe they do right now, but maybe there will come a time when it won't go over your head anymore. And there's some folks, and it doesn't go over their heads. It's actually what they need. But those people are going to say, well, see what Pastor said? That was so simple. I learned that years ago. Yeah, but there's some people there who are just coming into the faith and just learning things, and that's good for them, and that's good for the children. So you have to be able to rightly divide the word of truth, just like when you're giving out food at the table. But the point I want to make is this. Study is what God would have us to do when it comes to his word. And we need to train ourselves to study. I recall very well when I went to the Theological Hall of the Free Presbyterian Church in Northern Ireland. At the time, I think I was something like, 22 years old, something like that. And there were some fellows there who were more mature than that, they were already into their 30s. And when they left school, they were 16. And they hadn't done any studying because they were tradesmen, carpenters or whatever it might be. And so they really had a hard time getting back to the books. They had a hard time being able to train themselves not to just be working with their hands or working things out in their minds, but actually sitting down and studying books. It was a chore. It was hard work, but it was rewarding work at the end of the day. And I believe that study of the Bible will yield its own rewards, particularly when you study with the help of the Holy Spirit that you must ask for. We study the Bible if we're studying it correctly, diligently. Something else I want to say before I finish today, and it's really elementary, but it's something that we need to think about, and it's something that we need to practice, and that is we need to study the Bible daily. I hope you don't take your Bible home from church and then set it on the shelf and then pick it up next Sunday where you left it down. That's not good. That is not what we ought to be doing. Now, okay, if it's your Sunday Bible, that's fine, and you use another one during the week, okay. But if that's your Bible, and you leave it there to gather dust all week, that's not good. I've gone into people's homes in the past, and I've asked them, before I leave, I want to read the scripture and pray. Could I use your Bible? Oh, such a scrambling match to find where that Bible is. They haven't a clue where it is. Where did I leave my Bible? That's not good. That tells me that they're not reading it. You might say, well, it doesn't necessarily tell you that. Maybe that's right. Maybe I'm misjudging them. But I often think that that's something that we ought to correct. I know in the days when people were swordsmen, they knew where their sword was. Or if somebody carries a gun, they should know where that gun is. There was a time when I did that, by the way, when I was in a certain profession, shall we say. And I did not let that gun out of my sight. It went to the bathroom with me. It was everywhere that I went. I carried it on my person. Even in church, people didn't know that. Oh, it's hot. Why are you wearing that jacket? Because I've got a shoulder holster in here. And I've got a certain piece of equipment in here that I want to have with me for my protection and the protection of others at the time. I knew where that thing was at any given time. Because that was my protection. And that's the way it is with God's word. We should know where our Bible is. We're ready to use it at any time. But listen, study the Bible every day. Why were the people of Berea more noble? Acts 17 verse 11. They search the scriptures. How often? Daily. That means every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. That's what the children's chorus says. The Bible is an everyday study book. Spurgeon, who I'm fond of quoting, had some daily readings books that he wrote. One is called Morning and Evening, because he was in the habit of reading the Bible in the morning and reading the Bible at night. And this was a handbook to that. It was a daily reading, a daily devotional. Here's another book which is very good, which I've got a lot of benefit from through the years, called The Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. Daily readings books. But here's a daily reading book. Here's the best daily reading book. And if you're going to choose between this and your daily devotional, choose this one every time. Because this is God's daily devotional. They searched the scriptures daily. Daily. Oh, how little time we spend with the Lord. I quoted this the other day. A great preacher said, in our prayers we talk to God. In our Bible study, God talks to us. And we had better let God do most of the talking. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Spend time every day reading your Bible. Say, well, Pastor, how much time or how little time should I spend reading the Bible? You're going to have to decide that for yourself. But I would say to you, you ought to open your Bible and read it every single day. And that's why it's important to have a daily Bible reading plan, because it keeps your feet to the fire, so to speak. You know, when you're all over the place, oh, what will I read today? And turn over here and turn over here and just whatever takes my fancy. That's not the way to read or study the Bible. Now, if you're going to do that or not read it at all, then do that. But I would say to you, that's not the way to study the Bible. Read it consecutively. Read it in a logical fashion, an analytical fashion as well. But certainly spend time reading the Bible. Now, it may be in reading the portion that you've chosen for that day, there are a couple of verses that really strike you. And you're going to camp out there for a while. You're going to stay there for a while and just think about those verses. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's Bible study. That's Bible reading and Bible study. But as long as you're in the Word, someone said most of us spend too little time in prayer, and almost every one of us spends far too little time in Bible study. And if we're going to resolve anything, not just at New Year's, but even today, it should be that from this day on, I'm going to spend more time in listening to what God says in His Word. They searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And then it says in verse 12, therefore many of them believed. Isn't that interesting? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. May the Lord help us to be Bible students. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. I pray that we might have a great desire to read it and to study it and to meditate upon it. And may we do so with great profit to our souls and our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.